Welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast, episode 69 for the week of February 5th, 2007. Hello from wherever you are, this is Norm the Intern, taking hosting duties for the first time ever with me today.
And last time.
Oh, maybe last time also. With me today, DJ Stapleton, Associate Editor.
Kill me.
I'm sick.
Logan Decker.
Kill me. I'm not sick.
No, I'm going to kill you anyway, though.
From Chicago, Jeremy Williams.
Love me tender.
And Intern Andy.
What's up?
So we took a week off last week, but this week we're coming back at you with two fantabulous episodes, and this one will be a news one, so let's jump right into the news. So for the last couple weeks, we've been talking about Supreme Commander and how great it is, and how much DJ loves it, and how much Greg loves it, and how everyone loves it. Well, now you can get your hands on it too, because the demo's out.
Yeah, new 1 gigabyte demo just got released, so be sure to check that out. It's, I think it's partially single player. Sorry. Yeah. I shouldn't talk today. But I am anyway.
I'd be glad to check that out because all that the beta had was the skirmish mode. So
yeah.
It'd be a lot, or the multiplayer.
Both multiplayer, yeah.
I'd like to play the single player and see how they guide you in learning the controls.
Yeah, it's actually a really good tutorial in there. It could be a little bit better on things like the more complex features like ferrying and... And there are a couple other little things in there that they could do a little bit better job on, but it's all in the manual.
Yeah, but just the simple mechanics, it probably does it just walk you through nice and easy.
You'll get the hang of it after the first couple missions.
So which of the races or which faction is in the demo?
It allows you to try out the Cybern Nation in a skirmish map called Vin's Revenge, which is one that was in the multiplayer beta. So I guess you play as the Cyberns in this.
And maybe you can talk about the experimental units for that side?
Not a cut against gas-powered, but it doesn't really matter which race is in the demo, does it? I mean, they're all pretty much the same. They all
more or less, except for the experimental units. And,
right, which is
why
I
asked. A couple of nice ones. But the experimental units on the Cybern side are the Monkey Lord Spider-Bot, which is, you know, the big... It's actually a six-legged spider, you know, one of those, with a giant cannon on top. They've also got a mobile rapid-fire artillery that sucks up a lot of energy, so unless you've got like seven massive power plants, it takes forever to fire. It's not quite so rapid. And the third one, right, so I can't remember. Oh yeah, it's the giant gunship. It looks like a big beetle that hovers around and blows away ground units.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, one of those.
Don't say it again.
So there's this new, is a new term that's just emerged. There's a new Wikipedia entry about it.
I don't think it's new. It's not actually new, but it's the first I heard of it recently.
But it's fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to start using it on a regular basis.
What is
so the word
term?
We're talking about is cat-assing, which looks like catassing if you're not reading closely.
Shall I quote from Wikipedia?
Yeah, tell us, what is cat-assing?
All right, let's talk about cat-assing. Cat-assing. This is Wikipedia, folks. Cat-assing, also referred to as poop-sucking.
No, those are different things. Different things.
Not according to Wikipedia.
Not according... Hey, I'm just reading it. Is the process of sequestering oneself at a computer and avoiding other day-to-day activity in favor of advancing one's character in a massively multiplayer online game, whose game design makes heavy use of level treadmills or their logical equivalents.
Oh, boy.
So would this apply to World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
Yes.
When you said this word, I never would have assumed that I actually cat-ass.
But the root of it is, or the meaning of it, comes from somebody who did not clean up after their cat, and so their apartment smelled like cat-ass.
Poop-socking?
Poop-socking is a level above and beyond cat-assing.
I can imagine what poop-socking is.
Poop-socking is being so afraid to miss a critical element of the game that you do exactly what poop sucking sounds like.
Good thing they come in pairs.
Yes. How many can you get for a dollar at Walmart? So, Jeremy, do you have any pets?
I have a cat.
Yeah. So you have, in fact, cat-assed.
Well,
so
not in the strictest, not in the strictest
have
sense.
You ever been?
I have a cat. The cat is perfectly healthy. I think if I weren't married, the cat might be in a little more jeopardy. But
I mean, nobody's saying the cat isn't healthy. The issue is, you know, are you a cat-asser?
The issue is, do you smell like cat-ass?
Exactly.
Oh, heavens. I don't know. There's this sort of blank.
Hey, cat ass could be a delightful aroma.
There's a blank period in my memory when I was hardest into World of Warcraft last year of about 3 weeks, and it's entirely possible that I smelled of cat ass.
The problem is we don't have any. Since you're in Chicago and we're out in California, we can't have an independent source verify exactly what you smell like.
Yeah. I think that maybe the good rule of thumb is the litter actually clumping on the bathroom floor.
Oh,
you know, outside of the box, okay. The perimeter of the box.
All right, next story.
Well, good news for a cat asser is because we might be spending more times on the PC than we thought before, because apparently consoles are dying. So says Blizzard.
It's a very interesting perspective on the PC versus consoles conflict, which Blizzard is a VP of business development at Blizzard. Itzik, how do you pronounce his name?
Yeah, Itzik Ben Bassett.
That sounds good. So that guy is saying that that consoles and PCs are becoming more and more unified, which is true in that a 360 and a PS3 are much more like PCs than the previous generation, and you know, the next generation of consoles could be even more PC-like. And PCs at the same time are becoming so user-friendly, and they're being turned into DVRs and brought into the living room. So basically, you're getting these things closer and closer together to the point where they're going to be the same device. And you know, considering you can use any 360 peripheral with Vista or with I guess with XP too, it's more or less the same device now.
Well, given the convergence, I mean, consoles are becoming more like PCs, and PCs are in some ways becoming more like consoles, becoming more user friendly. Why isn't the argument that PCs are becoming obsolete and becoming one with consoles? Why is it the other way
because
around?
Because PCs they do more. You know, you can only play games on consoles.
And they're absolutely ubiquitous.
Yeah, the moment you take a console and you do things besides play games on it, isn't it just a computer?
I think it's a question of semantics. I mean,
yeah. But I mean, the Xbox, the first one in particular, was pretty much just a PC anyway, hardware speaking.
Yeah.
Right, and isn't the Sony president infamous for saying the PS3 is a PC?
Yeah, and look where it's gone.
So that's not the fault of it being like a PC.
So why do you think it's significant that it's coming from someone at Blizzard? I mean their perspective obviously is that the PC is a dominant platform because it's so robust.
Because they have 8 million people playing on it.
Yeah, that and because of them on a big part, PC gaming has taken a huge boost in sales. So
right.
The theory here is a little more forward-thinking than PCs are going to dominate consoles, though. He's talking.
Well, no, he's saying that they're going to dominate them. It's that they're going to become the same thing.
In a sense, yeah. He's saying that the PC is going to basically power the thin client in the living room that you'll then play your console games on with your gamepad.
I mean, it's not a console game. It's a game you're playing on your computer with a gamepad.
Yeah, but what's the difference? Like right now, as you guys said, the Xbox and PS3 are basically PCs anyway.
Except, I mean, the way I envision it, this is just something I just made up for just now, is instead of having a console platform, you would just run the Xbox application on your PC, and much like Windows Media Center, it would put you into an Xbox environment. And basically your PC would be an Xbox, or it would be running the Xbox software.
Well, I think the difference between them is that consoles have locked down hardware, PCs do not. I don't want to be on a console for that reason, and I don't want them to converge. You know, I like non-lockdown hardware. I like choice.
Right.
And I'm willing to, you know, I want to work with PCs because I can do anything with them, and I'd rather have it that way rather than trying to use this awkward interface on a console, when that's just not what it's good for. You know, console is good for just sit down, play, get up, go.
Yeah, but I mean, like this you know, vision is having having your computer, which would always be on at that point, just launch into a Xbox environment, or this is, again,
absolutely,
something I'm
all for that.
So, and yes, it would have to support different PC configurations at that point. So,
yeah.
One thing I'd love to see in the short term is just using the PC as a storage device for your consoles, so that you could
can't you already do that?
Can you?
With the 360, I mean, you can use it as a front end for your MP3s and stuff like that.
Oh, that's true. But I mean about, like, with the downloadable movies off of Xbox Live Marketplace. And
yeah. Well, as soon as we get Live Anywhere.
And the games.
I wouldn't be surprised if we're doing that in a year.
Yeah, I think it'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaking of Microsoft and Live Anywhere, Vista came out last week. Anyone buy that? No.
Anyone install it?
I have it running. Yes, I am running Vista Ultimate at home.
As your primary OS?
Yes. I did do a dual boot. I did a whole blog post.
So DJ, did Nvidia pee on you?
I wouldn't say they peed on me so much as they have disappointed me slightly, because I'm running with the very nice 8800 GTX right now, and it is the drivers are not quite ready for Vista. I mean, they're still labeled as beta. They just became available to the public on day one of the Vista launch, and they are a little bit glitchy. The performance isn't quite up to par with the XP counterparts, and the I can't rotate a secondary display into portrait mode. I get occasional garbled screens that do go away after a couple seconds, but it's just kind of annoying.
Pretty much par for the course, though, don't you think, for a major switch or transition like this?
I mean, you're not just transitioning from XP to Vista. You're transitioning from NVIDIA's old architecture to their new one.
Yeah.
With their radical redesign for the 8800. So. It's a big change on multiple fronts. I am a little bit disappointed that, considering that Vista was in beta for over, how long?
Years.
Yeah. It's been in beta for so long, but their DX10 hardware hasn't been out for that long. So,
it's been in the works. It's not like they haven't had them.
Right.
And they haven't been final, but, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more forethought on their part. I don't know the inner workings of NVIDIA. I don't know exactly how much work goes into one of these things. It's a little bit disappointing.
Is that for such a big release, both on the software side and on the hardware side, the merging of the two were pretty much fumbled. And NVIDIA fans are now flaming their forums, and people are just vowing never to buy NVIDIA cards ever.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Wow. Oh, the drama.
Hopefully they'll remedy it, in the next couple weeks or so. And they already came out with their beta drivers, but like you said, they're not up to par.
I think one of the most irritating parts is that on the box for the 8800, they have it labeled, essential for the Vista experience.
Right.
And, not quite yet. It's not.
Who are all these people that are so anxious to install Vista and so anxious that they would file a class action lawsuit against their video card maker? There's no reason to have it yet, is there?
Not really, no. I mean, there's no DirectX 10 games out yet. So, I mean, all you're really doing right now is giving yourself a slight performance decrease.
But it looks pretty.
It does look very pretty. I'm enjoying the hell out of the Aero interface, because I was getting really bored with XP over the past 5 years. So I'm really glad to see something new.
5 years.
Yeah.
Has there been any word about when we might see a patch for Flight Sim 10 or see the release of... When's the release of Halo 2?
Oh, Halo 2 is not DirectX 10.
Oh, really? Well, God.
Nope.
When are we going to see the very first DirectX 10 example?
We don't know exactly. We know there are patches in the works for Flight Sim 10, Supreme Commander, and Company of Heroes. We know Crisis, Hellgate London. What else is coming out with DX 10, Logan?
Is Bioshock?
Bioshock. I'm not certain about Bioshock, because that's going to be Xbox too.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So it seems like maybe either Supreme Commander or Flight Sim 10 will be the first?
Either that or Company of Heroes, yes.
Oh, okay.
I read an interesting article today on a group of guys who tried out 25 games on Vista, and apparently they were having a lot of trouble with the security and everything as far as getting a World of Warcraft update. Apparently Vanguard, the menu wouldn't even show up and all sorts of stuff. So,
right, and I guess Will Smith from Maximum PC was telling me that the expansion or the mini expansions for Oblivion just won't even install on Vista right now. So that's a little bit disappointing that they haven't gotten that act together.
Hmm. Especially when they're trying to push games for Windows as hard as they are. It seems like they would have wrapped something like that up.
So there's also Shadowrun.
That's right.
Right, Shadowrun's going to be the first actual cross-platform between console and PC. Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, that's fun. Unbelievable.
And Uno.
Uno's not Uno, I'm afraid.
Alan Wake. UT3, Unreal Tournament. EVE Online will have a patch.
But in any case, by the time any of this stuff is ready, I'm betting NVIDIA will be, they'll get their act together.
Yeah.
Oh, I have no doubt.
So, I mean, just being upset that the drivers aren't quite ready on week one of the Vista launch might be overreacting a bit.
So let's jump into some listener questions.
Oh.
All right. Intern Andy, why are you the cutest guy ever? I don't know. It just happened one day.
Hi, this is Ben Roach from Spanish Fork, Utah. I have a question about Windows Vista and its Aero interface. I've read that it uses your GPU to run it, to power it. Won't that cause some heating issues, some overheating issues with the cooling solutions where they're not really meant to run at 100% GPU load for so long? And also, will Windows Vista stop using your GPU when you go to launch a game? Thanks for supporting this podcast, and I love it, so keep it up.
It's no problem at all. Actually, GPUs are designed to be at maximum load. That's how they're tested, the same with CPUs. Their heating tolerances are tested at maximum load for a very, very long time. And they are tested with the cooling solutions that come with them to sustain those loads and to keep the temperature well within, safe, whatever. What's the word for it? Safe tolerances.
Tolerances.
Yeah. As long as you are using the recommended cooling or better.
I don't think Aero uses the CPU or the GPU at maximum load anyway.
No.
The hit is very, very minor.
I mean, I guess it would depend on what graphics card you're running it on, but yeah, it's not that, it's pretty, but it's not that pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the same with the second part of his question, when you launch a game and Windows Vista is in the foreground, Aero's not going to be using your GPU.
No. Yeah, I mean, running SEPCOM for 5 minutes is like, running Aero for a month, in terms of the load on your CPU.
And the very slight performance decreases I'm getting when I'm playing on Vista, it has nothing to do with that. It's much more to do with the drivers.
Yeah, and that'll disappear in months, I think.
Gary was expressing concern a couple weeks ago about only having 1 gigabyte with Vista. Have you guys tested that yet?
Not a problem.
Okay.
Hey all, Sean here, a.k.a. Hojo the Great, from Winnipeg, Canada. Do you think that MMO developers and RPG developers should try to incorporate less structured material? What I mean by that is less structured treasure and storylines that the players can actually discover themselves, as opposed to being led on a leash by quests and NPCs. I think this would immerse the player a lot more in the game and make them feel like they're really, a part of the world. To know that if they pick up this knife, they won't go back to the main town and have a peasant say, "Oh, that's my lucky knife. Thank you for finding it to me. Here's gold." But rather, instead, they go find a librarian or a library, and they look up, ancient knives in this area of the world and discover information about it and then go on their own quest to discover lore and legends that have been put in the game by the developers without mentioning them by any NPCs or any strategy guides. I felt Morrowind did this extremely well, and Oblivion did not, even though I loved Oblivion. Last quick question, Norm, Battlefield 2142 or 2? Help, because I need to get one, and I don't want to spend money on both. Thanks a ton for listening, guys. Sorry about the length, and I look forward to the next podcast. I love it.
Would we prefer an MMORPG that didn't lead players on during their quests? To answer this question, yeah. Andy, wouldn't you agree that that would be a pretty good thing?
Yeah, well, absolutely, because it seems like with Vanguard they covered that. You know, having been, you know, really, really immersed myself in it, it felt like, yeah, there's those quests, but they're mainly the tutorial ones that get you going in the world. It just, you really have a feeling of what I do affects the world that I'm in, and there's definitely more than one way of accomplishing everything. You know, you can be a diplomat, you can go in there and hack and slash your way through a temple, you know, do whatever you want. It really is a very open-ended game, and it seems like the developers heard the cries of people like you and me, and it really is well done.
I think the hand-holding...
It's a lot harder to do that though, because you have to account for a lot more possibilities on what the player can do. I mean, he might not, you know, do exactly what you just said. He might go do something else, and you have to plan for that too.
Right.
So you can never really have a quest, like an open-ended quest like that, because the developer still has to plan for everything you might do.
Yeah, but nonetheless, it's better than, you know, you got 10 boars to kill, go kill them. It's more of,
right,
you know, I need you to find this guy and get something from him. You know, you can either talk him out of it, pickpocket him, kill him, and take it off his body, do what you want.
Right,
you know,
I think that's kind of a different thing, though. What he's talking about is having a much less structured thing, like not even telling you what to do, but having you explore on your own and figure out your own quest, which I think is really hard to do. I can't even imagine a way to pull that off.
Which is why you're not a game developer. DJ, you're right. I think the hand-holding aspect of MMOs is largely a relic from from single-player RPGs. And I think even though it'll take a lot more work to create quests that are more open-ended and that can go in unforeseen directions, but working with other people in MMOs really helps give direction back into the game.
I just don't understand the design principle of that, because you're supposed to reward a player for accomplishing a goal. If you don't know what the goal is, how can you reward them?
Well, maybe it's not having a goal, it's just having more subtle goals. Or requiring that you look in more places in order to find your goals.
I don't understand.
I'm not sure that that's what he was getting at, though. I think he was thinking about more emergent gameplay, just because it's an active, living world. But the problem with that idea is that there's going to be a lot of boredom when nothing happens.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it'll be great when it works.
I don't know about that. I mean, it'd pretty much be the way it is now when it doesn't work. Yeah, I kind of feel like World of Warcraft is very static, and I wish that as a high-level character, when I walked into a new room or something, that people acknowledged that. Not people, but the NPCs. Like, maybe if I was a special character, they might say that if I walked in the room, or if I
happens though, Jeremy, if you and another special character walk in the room?
Yeah,
what
I know.
Happens?
Well,
I mean, there's just too many things to account for. No. At least with the current level of technology, they just couldn't pull that off.
I'm suggesting very simple things, just like bowing if I walk into Stormwind, if I'm revered in Stormwind or something like that. But as far as the quests go, I don't necessarily think that all of the quests are so explicit about what you have to accomplish. There is a lot of discovery that you can and are supposed to do, you know, if you follow Blizzard's rules. But the truth is, everyone just wants to level, and so they just want to get their quests done. So they're either asking in general chat, how do I find such and such, where is such and such, or they're going to websites like ThoughtBot and just getting, you know, ABC, go here, 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 to finish the quest.
Or maybe they're playing on the RPG servers, the role-playing servers.
I have never stepped foot into one, and I don't plan to.
That makes two of us.
To answer a second question, Battlefield 2142 or 2, I'm going to have to go with 2. I think I still play more Battlefield 2 than 2142, and I think it's more fun because it's set in modern day.
And it just depends on your preferences, really. And I guess there is the issue of the in-game advertising, so that's going to bother you definitely.
That doesn't bother me at all. It's more of, you know, mechanics all being equal, it's a matter of whether I would like firing an M4 or some futuristic assault rifle.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to a pretty hardcore Battlefield player last week, and he was telling me that he just couldn't get into Battlefield 2142 because the weapons just weren't intuitive enough, and like the vehicles, like he could see something coming, wouldn't know what it is, but he's kind of a military buff, so he could, you know, identify things at a distance.
Right, here we go.
Hi, PC Gamer Podcast. This is Victor from Scotland. Over the past couple of months, I've heard some of the presenters over there mentioning Bethesda Softworks' Star Trek game, Star Trek Legacy, and as which is basically no surprise to everyone, it's been getting really bad reviews for the PC. Bethesda is the fifth franchise holder for Star Trek gaming. They took over from Activision, who left in 2003. Star Trek itself is a franchise which is over 40 years old now. There is just so much stuff out there in the Star Trek world that these companies can work with. But why is it that the majority of the Star Trek games released after Interplay's era were abysmal failures? Activision's saving grace was Elite Force, Armada, and Star Trek Bridge Commander, and the rest of their games were absolutely terrible. Do any of you think that Star Trek gaming as a franchise has a future in the PC market?
I'm too pissed off to comment.
Can we call him Scotty?
If you acknowledge that, he could probably drink you under the table.
Oh, certainly. but no, I mean, one thing to note is that Bethesda's Star Trek Legacy is developed by Mad Dog, who also did Star Trek Armada 2. I'm not sure if they did 1. Probably. So, you know, it's just a change in publishers, not a change in developers. So, but yeah, I mean, certainly there's a lot of potential in the Star Trek universe, and I've been disappointed, you know, as much as anybody, because I at least used to be a huge Star Trek fan before Voyager, Enterprise, and Nemesis ruined it. But and don't make me go into that again on the forums. I mean, there's certainly a lot of potential. I'm consciously optimistic for Star Trek Online, which is coming out of Perpetual after they finish Gods and Heroes. But you know, there just isn't that much information on it yet to make a judgment one way or the other.
Well, here's where I think it's a problem. The Star Trek universe, though rich, just really doesn't accommodate itself for action games, which, you know, most of the PC games actually are. I mean, even though Elite Force was a fun game, it really wasn't in the spirit of Star Trek. And you
Elite Force 1 was. Elite Force 1 was pretty good, but Elite Force 2 didn't feel like Star Trek to me.
Weapons right, it was, they were good action games, but as a Star Trek game, for people who like Star Trek, you know, it was just basically a shooter that was skinned to look like Star Trek
right.
And had story elements from Star Trek. That's why I think the MMO might have a ton of potential, because the whole exploration aspect, that universe is very character-driven and tech-driven,
absolutely.
So MMOs can accommodate that.
Well said.
But on the other hand, the starship combat angle is, you know, brilliant if you could do it right.
It's really slow, which is why Legacy didn't work well, because Legacy tried to incorporate it into the fast-paced, you know, 360 space shooting game.
Did you play any Legacy?
I did.
Okay. Because, I mean, like, for me, Legacy was, like, a little bit too frantic. I guess that's kind of what you said. They were trying to speed it
up. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Which is why I like Starfleet Command so much more.
Starfleet Command was pretty good. Though it was a little bit too, I guess a little
navally.
Bit... Navally? I know. I like the naval aspect of it. I didn't like that it was all in a very 2D environment. And it was a little bit too technical, I guess. Not user-friendly enough. And yet they tried to make it more user-friendly in Starfleet Command 3, and I didn't like that either, so I just don't know.
Will the Star Trek MMO be the first real attempt at a Star Trek RPG?
RPG? I think so, yeah.
It seems to
if
me
you,
like...
If you discount all the Star Trek MUDs.
Right now, yeah. Yes. No, it just seems like the KOTOR kind of model would suit Star Trek really well.
I think so, because there's so much less ground combat in Star Trek than in Star Wars. I mean, you've got, like, the only people that fight hand-to-hand are the Klingons, and everybody else just shoots each other.
Right, I think one of the finest Star Trek games ever made was the Final Unity, which was a Spectrum Holobyte adventure game, and I think the adventure genre really lends itself.
It was an awesome game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, guys, it's Andrew calling from SD again. Just have an answer and another question. My answer to your question about what would make a good MMO would be The Elder Scrolls, definitely. That'd be really good. But also, there's another MMO that's coming out from Ensemble Studios, the makers of Age of Empires series, and everyone's speculating on what the setting would be, if it's even Age of Empires related at all. Kind of hoping it is. It'd be kind of cool, you know, playing the Age of Empires 2 setting, where, you know, you play as a knight or a peasant or whatever have you, and you participate in this empire building, but who knows? Maybe it's not even that. I don't even know. I'm just speculating. Also, I think that Creative Assembly MMO would be pretty interesting, cashing in on the whole Total War experience, where, like, you play as a samurai, or you play as, you know, a Roman general, or you play as a medieval knight once again. I don't know. Who knows? No one knows. But I also have a question about a game called Assassin's Creed, which is coming out for the PC and looks fantastic. It looks like it actually will innovate the genre of stealth action games. It looks amazing with its combat system of not taking 100 blows to the head, but you know, you actually have to block blows aimed at you. I was just wondering, you know, you sort of seem to give that sort of the cold shoulder in your magazine. You just revealed that it's coming for PC on sort of a back page in the Gamu section. I was wondering why that was, and if anyone is actually interested and excited for it. So that's pretty much all the questions I have right now. Thanks, and keep up the good work.
Well, speaking of Assassin's Creed, I am very, very excited about that. For people who don't know what that is, it's a new game from Ubisoft, from the people who did Prince of Persia, and originally it was announced as a PS3 exclusive title, but then last year, they announced that it'd also be coming out on 360 and the PC.
That's from the Montreal guys?
From the Montreal guys, exactly. Nice. And so it incorporates a lot of that this wall scaling and urban running stuff that was in Prince of Persia. And what the developers actually have said is that they want to incorporate le parkour, which is free running, the urban sport from France, in the game. So you're actually, it's like Jackie Chan, basically. You're jumping up rooftops and doing all sorts of crazy acrobatics.
A better analogy is the guy in the new Bond movie in the beginning.
Sorry, that is Le Parkour in the new Bond movie.
Yeah.
So you're doing that, but in a Middle Ages setting, and you're an assassin.
Though I don't know, I heard something about possible time travel involved in the plot.
Well, there were some details leaked online. One of the voice actors is Kristen Bell, the girl who plays Veronica Mars on TV, and she's actually doing some voice acting for the game, but on Letterman, during an interview, she kind of revealed a little bit of the plot, which, should I go into it? I mean,
I guess we should let people look that up.
We'll let people look that up if you want to, but it has some cool aspects that they're not ready to announce yet.
We are really excited about it, and the only reason it was in the back of the magazine is because that's where the section was. We don't prioritize, you know, stuff that goes in the front as, at least, but when the magazine was laid out that way, we didn't prioritize stuff like that. We just, you know, put it in the section where it belonged. So that's just where the section was.
Is it the Gamu or is it the Gamut?
No, we always call it the Gamut.
All right. Yeah,
that's gone now. So.
So, DJ, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Oblivion still. I've actually had some trouble with it in that I keep getting stuck. Like, I had made a hand-to-hand character, and at level 12, I was doing fine. It's really hard doing hand-to-hand because it's hard to pull off the special moves. You have to have some pretty good aim, actually. I was making do. All of a sudden, I go from level 12 to level 13, and everything just starts beating my ass. Like ridiculously.
Well, you're playing through the main quest and not the expansion, right?
No, the expansion's not out yet.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
just checking.
Yeah. It's not even to the point where we've gotten preview builds. So, I'm just playing through the regular game. I guess I installed BT mod for the interface. I keep running into a couple... you know, things that are just gonna just stop me. I'm like, the last time it was crashing whenever I load into a new area, and this time it was this problem with the difficulty level just going way up. I think I'll start again just because I am enjoying the hell out of it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have stuck with it this long. But
well, that's an important thing. Logan, what are you playing?
Well, they're gutting my room at home, so I've been playing on my laptop in the kitchen, so I have to play, you know, somewhat leaner games, like Happy Feet. Yes, believe it or not. Hey, you know what? I'm a happy dude. But, you know, there's another one, Hamster Ball. Let me tell you, you start playing Hamster... Did you just roll your eyes at me? Whoa!
I think we've come to a point where if you put any furry-type animal in front of Logan...
Hamster Ball Gold. Go get it. It's raptusoft.com. It's fantastic.
Break it down for me, Logan. Why is it cool?
Okay, you're this little hamster in his Liberty Ball, right? It's like Marble Madness, you know? And you roll the hamster this way, and you roll the hamster that way, and you're trying to get it to avoid the obstacles. You don't want to get the hamster ball in tar.
I like physics.
You know, because tar's all sticky on the hamster ball, and you know.
And you have to avoid Richard Gere.
You know, and that, whoa! Did you have to soil it? Did you have to soil it?
That's hilarious.
I really did.
Uncool.
Jeremy,
you know,
appreciates me. Why can't you be more like Jeremy, Logan?
Oh, man.
You're such a disappointment.
Because then he'd cat ass all the time.
I'm telling you, it's a game that gives and gives. Go check it out. raptisoft.com.
Right on. Jeremy, how about you?
World of Warcraft, I'm at level 65, so I'm just inching along. I'm sure Gary hit 70 weeks ago. But I also checked out a cool online game called Knit that I'm going to recommend. I saw it advertised, not advertised, but recommended in Edge magazine. And if you just Google KNYTT, you'll find it. It's like Lumines crossed with Pitfall crossed with Lode Runner. You know, it's just a very cool little indie game with some really neat artwork. And it's a lot of fun. I was hooked
on that for weeks.
Oh, you played it?
Oh, man. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a cute little game. So that's
cool.
That's my week.
All right, and intern Andy?
I have been straight rolling through the Burning Crusade. I've got a Blood Elf Rogue who's now at level 52, and that just proves how much free time I have. So other than that, been dabbling in and out of Vanguard, and that is just, it's actually a lot of fun.
Andy, are you a cat-asser?
I like to think of myself as a poop soccer, actually.
Whoa! Well, I did ask. Sorry, gentlemen. Sorry, ladies.
You shouldn't have done that, Luke.
All right. Yeah, live and learn. Live and learn.
And I've been playing Morph Salmon Max, excited for episode 3 coming out, and actually have a subscription to GameTap, so I've been trying out some really old games there. And I actually just picked up a copy of Medieval 2, and I'll be digging into that. So that's it for us this week. We're coming out with another episode later on the week, 2 to make up for none last week. Check us out online at www.pcgamerpodcast.com. Send us your MP3 questions. Our email is pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com and subscribe to the magazine at pcgamer.com. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you next time.
I had a good time. Hope you did too.
Get well, DJ.
I'm going to crawl under my desk and die. Decker!
Logan, come
puppies
back.
Puppies are nice.
Check.
I love puppies.
DJ, mute for a sec.
All right, then I'll do it.
If you ever want to see an 8800.
Done.
What are you... are you giving out an 8800?
He's just letting me see it.
Yeah.
I just want to know what one looks like.
Logan is not promising Norm one. He's just simply not disqualifying him from getting one in the future. What I want to know is, what do you do with the full sock?
Just, if you got somebody you're mad at, just twirl it around your head.
I don't think you want to twirl that at all.
Missile. Yeah.
But you might, if you take the time to do that, then you might as well have gone to the bathroom in the first place.
And I think the effectiveness of that missile really depends on the consistency and...
Oh, no.
We love our poop jokes. I'm sorry. Hold on a sec. Audacity has just crashed.
Awesome. Where does he get the audacity?
Hey all, Sean here, a.k.a. Hojo the Great, from Winnipeg, Canada.
That was the same one.
Oh, sorry.
Everybody heard from Hojo.
You don't want to do that one again?
Let's hear from Hojo the Not So Great.
Hojo the Merely Adequate.
No joke.
Bonjour, mon ami. This is Jacqueline, coming to you from Paris. For all the news, tips, interviews, and reviews you'll never want to night.
I'm sure I saw this movie.
Wow. That was an ad for Neverwinter Nights? Something else.
What?
Yeah, it was like a Neverwinter Nights fan website ad, I guess.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was Amelie.
I hear you.
Well, that was creepy, dude.